its graceful branches with dark green shiny leaves swept out in a symmetry of curved strength from the rose-red bark of the trunk. A gentle breeze from across the sapphire sea fanned my cheeks, and with it came the elusive and exotic fragrance of this sea that I had known in the spaceship, as well as many years before on Earth when it came to me as I lay dying in Groot Schuur Hospital in faraway Cape Town, the fragrance that revived me and gave to me the breath of life again as this glorious scene unfolded about me. And here it was in all its lovely reality, after giving me a new lease on life to fulfill my destiny here. How long will I be allowed to remain here with you on this lovely planet? Will it be possible to stay even a little while? I feel reborn and rejuvenated as if my life is now really just beginning. And I threw my head back and looked up into the eternal depths of sapphire blue as the fragrant breeze swept up the slope from far across the sea. My beloved, I want you to remain with me forever. But this is not possible at present because your physical body will be unable to acclimatize to the higher vibratory rate within our atmosphere, caused by the radiations from three stars, which will affect the rhythm of your heart. Your heart has an electrical timing device attuned to the star of your system, the Sun, as we here on this planet are attuned to the frequency of these resonating vibrations. I can control the electrical rhythm of your heart for a limited period, which will amount to 4 months of your Earth time. I intend to keep you with me for this period, not only for my sake, but for the sake of our son who will need his mother's close presence, and for your sake too. You will need the close presence of your child and your mate. This is natural and very necessary in life, otherwise it creates psychological trouble and illness that has a lasting effect on children. Hence all the throat the tonsillar illnesses of children on Earth, simply because they are breathing a polluted atmosphere and are left far too much alone by their parents, resulting in fear and lack of security, causing nervous tension and insufficient sleep and rest. So the body gets out of rhythm and illness is the result, through lack of love and constant close proximity, harmony and quietude. The peoples of Earth are poisoned and sick as a result of their way of life. My beloved, how simply wonderful. Now I can really live and enjoy every moment of my life here. It's going to be the most wonderful 4 months of my life. It will give me the strength to carry out my destiny in the future, and to go back to Earth with hope and love in my heart for all things, I said with joy as I hugged and kissed Akin. Your heart though, dearest, will never recover. It will always go out of rhythm now, even back on Earth where the solar wind or flares will affect it badly at peak periods over the sunspot cycles. Oh! But how well worthwhile it all is! To love you and have your son, and to live with you for 4 months. Any sacrifice is worth all this. I cried to the wide open skies as I flung my arms wide to the universe. Yet, it is no such thing as a sacrifice, that only applies to Earthmen's ideas. This is life, real life, and my life. Oh, how happy I am. Nothing and nobody can ever take all this away from me. It is my life and will live with me forever, to give me strength and a reason for being, why I am I, so that I could experience all this wonder and beauty, and to give me a reason for living at this cycle in time. It was all meant to be, and nothing can change this. The inexorable law of the universe, I answered with awe and wonder. And the universe will take care of you, my dear. As you think and live, so the universe will respond, Akin gently said as he put his arms about me to lift me from the emerald sward. The beautiful tumbling country rolled on up to great mountains topped with glowing rose-red rock faces, the grass slopes dotted with golden trees, while sparkling clear rivers glistened in the star-drenched atmosphere cascading their way to the sea, with exotic flowers in brilliant colors growing everywhere and masses of lilies flowering like a carpet in the woods, where nature rules in an abundance of luxuriant flora. Fish and mammals abound in the seas, lakes and rivers. There are no large flesh-eating types such as sharks, or carnivorous creatures on the land. The land creatures are herbivore and live on the lush green vegetation. Overstocking is solved by removing surplus creatures to other planets where similar conditions prevail so that no destruction of life occurs. The cattle are a select few, scientifically bred for milk. They have no horns at all and are pure white. Very gentle and friendly, with large soft eyes. They love to lie in the waters of the lakes. There is always a clean fresh smell about them and they are never herded into buildings of any kind. They are milked out in the open fields, hen-culled, and their milk has a delicious flavor, high in protein and essential minerals. The white horses prance and gamble over the emerald grasslands, full of fire and spirit, but gentle and loving. Trained to respond to thought, they came trotting up to us and gently nuzzled for titbits. I caught my breath at their beauty. Here were the true equines, the fabled creatures of the heavens drawing the golden chariot of Helios across the aura of the stars, who spawned the Arabians with their delicate heads and breadth of brow between large gentle eyes, the classic curve lending grace to breadth of nostrils, and with rounded pure white bodies shaped in perfection of bone. Bred in the cradle winds of heaven, the mark of lineage is cast in a gentler mold, like their human friends, who also spawned a race of people on earth, whose mark of lineage is also cast in a gentler mold, capturing the texture of the clouds from heaven's purity. Fascinated, I watched their graceful movements on the slope of the hill as they cankered to the stream below. Visionary idea from a planet in the Ak star system made of rune in 2006. The birds were the most beautiful I had ever seen. Brilliantly colored, they abound throughout the lovely land singing the magic carols of bird song in th higher octaves of sound. Perfectly tame, they fly doven from the skies or the trees to settle with a flutter of importance on your outstretched hand or shoulders. With an abundance of natural food and water, they came for love and affection as through centuries of time they had been encouraged to do by this civilization. They regarded me with a friendly unwinking eye, head cocked to one side, then bursting into a drill of enchanting song, liquid and clear, accepted me as a part of the scene as they fluttered and hopped over the grass. Sighing with relaxed contentment, I lay back on the thick couch of soft grass. Great golden bees hummed and droned among the flowers and they lulled me to sleep. Akin let me sleep on and on. He was still sitting beside me when I awakened, and looking through the branches to the deep blue beyond, I watched a silver ship move across the sky. How beautiful! I murmured. Real peace, with the soothing rhythm of nature. Akin smoothed my hair back, as he leaned onto his elbow with his face close to mine. Our way of life is very simple, a serene and direct approach to a things in life. Truth cannot be hidden and there is no subterfuge in our attitude of mind. We have no politics, therefore there is peace and harmony in all things controlled by our civilization, and like the birds, we like to relax and sing at times. Akin then lifted his head to the heavens and sang a haunting melody in a glorious deep and rich tenor. Stirred by the beauty and romance of his voice, my eyes filled with tears of emotion. How wonderful is life, when one forges a bond that transcends all other needs, an affinity and sympathy so perfect when one becomes a barometer to the thoughts and actions of the loved one. My voice will always sing to you, singing in the distance of another environment, for we are as truly in the universe and in the skies as any of the other bright spheres we see beyond our systems. Beyond Alpha Centauri are many other bright orbs where other citizens of the universe have their being, singing, singing on forever to the music of the stars. The everlasting beauty of our love singing out in harmony with the celestial glockenspiels resonating through the unfathomed reaches of space will fortify the many windows of your soul, and there will be no sadness left, only happiness in our eternal unity. We all have to play our part in the shaping and evolution of mankind in a cosmos, and you, my dear, will need to have courage and be brave to go back to Earth and do what you have to do. Back on Earth, your heart will not revert to the slower time beat, your pulse rate will not remain tuned to the lower vibrations as it was in the past. Your immersion into our time continuum has altered all that. It is possible to gradually acclimatize oneself to a higher vibration merely by diet and breathing exercises. This, of course, takes time and concentration in the natural way as we have already prepared your heart to cope with our space-time continuum. When I take you back to Earth, though, you will have to live on a drug to regulate the rhythm of your heartbeat. I impressed the scene in my mind. I would have to live with it through all the time to come, a source of strength for the future back on Earth, a fountain from whence my courage could be replenished during the long years ahead back on a hostile planet. But the high vibratory rate within this atmosphere was affecting my heart, and I felt my pulse with alarm as the arrhythmia remained ominously high. Akan immediately massaged my chest on the left side under my breast with firm, gentle pressure, and gave me a herbal tablet to swallow. Feeling better, I listened as Akan said, "We have always maintained the delicate balance of radiations between the living brains of mammals and the living stars of their systems. Mankind can live as long as his brain cells are regenerated by the true balance of the life-giving radiations from the center of all life, the star of their system. In this way, they are able to tune in and tap the vast power and influence emanating from the nucleus of the galaxy, the everlasting life force of the universe, a prodigious intelligence of light waves continually transmitted from the depths of space. Mankind with his large brain is able to contact and retain from this vast reservoir, the knowledge and wisdom, intelligence and longevity which is the hallmark of a spiritually advanced race. His brain emits radio waves to connect with the radio waves emanating from his star. If a star is a variable, like the sun, where the radiations bombard the planets with unsteady radiations, the brain cells of living creatures generate. This is the cause of the aging process, and these creatures become aggressive and prey upon each other, aging rapidly because the vital brain cells are affected and begin to decay. How different would the story of Earth become if the people of that beautiful living sphere could change their attitude of mind, for an attitude of mind is a product of environment, and climatic changes can be induced and controlled. We are not overpopulated. We have a method of birth control by merely using a simple plant which grows in the woods here. This herb is added to the diets of men and women when needed, and the effects are temporary. In fact, the herb has great health properties and is a beneficial addition to the diet. We do not believe in overcrowding and haphazard population, which is very retarding to mental expansion and health. As men of Earth moved out to other countries across their seas, so we move out to other planets within the galaxy, and in this way retain a balance of population. Vibrations are most intense within Earth's atmosphere, and the minds of all living creatures and the sensitivity of plants are attuned to these vibrations, which are out of harmony and harsh because of the widespread swarm of humanity crowding the land masses and cities of the planet. When discords are most intense in the lower octaves and resonance is most damaging to the delicate cells of the brain, a major hazard is rapidly building up in the lower atmosphere to the mental health of millions of these people. Supersonic vibrations of high-speed aircraft press on the brains although unheard by the cars, as the danger increases in the resonance of inaudible higher octaves. Well, there is none of that sort of thing here, so I want to forget all about the behavior of people on that planet. I have you here with me now, and my son. And Akan kissed me long and tenderly. A great white seabird settled beside us, ruffling snowy feathers and regarding us with bright golden eyes, head aslant as she gracefully folded her vast wings into place. I stroked her head gently and gave her a piece of oat bread, oat of Akan's pouch. She fastidiously pecked it up with a delicate air of grace and then waddled off through the grass, content and quietly chirping to herself. How lovely for the birds! No extremes of winter cold and summer heat. No destructive storms to batter their feather-light bodies about the sky, but seasons that are gentle and temperate, controlled by the scientific methods of a great and wonderful people, who remain quietly within their own domain of peace, a utopia that really exists. Therefore, they do not wish to make contact with outside civilizations, who could destroy this gentle way of life. Experiencing the mode of living conducted by civilizations on Earth, I understood fully why Akan's civilization kept its distance and refused to have any contact with the governments of that planet. Here come the horses, Akan reminded me. Forget about the barbarians. They will never reach our system here. We moved out of the Sun's system because of them. They're already probing onto Venus and Mars and transmitting radio signals in an attempt to communicate with us, But this is a highly dangerous exercise for them to make their position known in the galaxy, for there are other, and ruthless beings out there highly advanced in science and technology, who may decide to decipher these signals and follow up the invitation and colonize Earth instead of making friendly advances as Earth scientists hope. We have no intention of being involved in all that. Of course, your civilization would be destroyed if you did, I answered, watching a beautiful craft, glinting and flashing in the golden radiance from three stars, skimming over the top of the sea and then rising up towards the hilltop. Floating in the sparkling air, she looked ethereal as she stopped and hovered over us, then, dipping down in greeting, she flashed away again. We waved back to the people in her and the horses nuzzled round us for oat bread. Akin lifted me onto the back of the mare standing quietly beside me. Her back was soft and comfortable and I buried my hands into snowy, silken mane and gripped her warm sides with my knees. Akin vaulted onto the back of a glorious creature who had neighed and trotted up to him and we moved down the hill, across the stream, and headed towards the mountains. There were no such things as bridles and saddles, the horses responded by thought and voice, and the fleet-footed creatures seemed to skim over the soft sward with a very comfortable and graceful pace. Jumping the smaller streams and hedges in their stride, we soon reached the foothills and slowing, the horses ambled and paced up the slopes with a swinging motion that was quite natural and untiring to them. It was second nature for me to be on the back of a horse. All my life I had met their foul legs instead of my own, as I had ridden horses since the age of 1 year old. Reaching the sheer cliff faces of Rose Red Rock just as the clouds cleared away, Akin lifted me off the mark's soft and broad back. The horses went to drink from a clear, crystal stream bubbling over smooth stones. On the bank we found a picnic tray left there by Habkin as he hovered over the stream in his small circular craft, always so thoughtful and kind. We found a delicious repast prepared by Plough's gentle hands. While resting in a lovely dell, with a vast and glorious view of land and sea, a small piece of rose rock dropped from the cliff face above and rolled against my sandaled foot. Picking it up, I held it in my hand, a piece of a beloved meat, weathered and nurtured in the rock face, more precious to me than the most precious stones of planet Earth. It is for you, a piece of your own world, to have and to hold always, a talisman, to give you strength when you are far away. Even this planet knows you belong here, my beloved, Akin quietly said as he looked up at the rock face. I placed the glowing fragment of rock in the pouch with the oat bread, covering it with soft green moss from the stream bank, and then I saw the maidenhair fern. Oh! I exclaimed. Of course you may. Akin answered my thought and very gently he gathered up the fern with its roots and placed it in the pouch. When we get back, I shall place the fern in a special container where it can grow and thrive. These plants live forever as we do and you can care for it always. So now I have the rock, the soil, the flora and the fauna, which is within me. Oh, my beloved, how wonderful it all is. And you are my love and my life, I whispered to Akin, my voice trembling with the depth of my emotion. Calling the horses, Akin lifted me again onto the mark's back and we rode quietly through the lovely countryside, on through fields of waving corn and wheat growing as natural grasses. Further on there were fields of oats and barley. Corn, or maize, grows in abundance everywhere, while various types of fruit and vegetables grow in areas set aside for such cultivation. There is never any shortage of food, and the vegetation maintains a steady growth without the retarding effects of the weather or a moon. Luxuriance of vegetation creates a high oxygen content within the troposphere, and the animal life balances this with carbon dioxide expiration absorbed by the plants. There is nothing, no pollution, released into the atmosphere to deplete the vital ozone layer. This is safeguarded against ultraviolet penetration. The atmosphere is fresh and invigorating, one feels full of power of mind and body. To become tired is unknown, one feels relaxed and completely without any nervous tension. There are vast agricultural farms, supplying the fresh food necessary for the sustenance of life and health throughout the planetary system and for the great spaceships to transport to other planets, where colonists are improving conditions for future generations beyond the confines of Alpha Centauri. The temperate climate of Meton and the other planets within the system has naturally helped to evolve to great equanimity the minds of the inhabitants. Electric storms affect the emotions because of changing magnetic fields, occur beyond the equatorial zones in the southern and northern hemispheres. The vagaries of climate have been controlled, with the result that no extremes of heat and cold penetrate the temperate and equatorial zones of the planet. The rainfall is high with moderate humidity because of the vast expanse of seas. Vegetation is lush and green, covering the surface of the land. Large and small islands make up the land masses which are inhabited throughout the equatorial regions. The polar caps of the auroral areas provide the wind patterns to temper climatic conditions over the surface of the planet. Earthquakes are unknown. The shifting of land masses has been halted through the magnetic balance of the entire solar system, nor is the surface exposed to varied and sudden atmospheric pressures. Every now and then, the mare I was riding picked a mouthful of swaying oat heads. She was very deft with her nimble mouth and never slowed down from her fleet smooth pacing. Having small stomachs, they like to eat little and often, and Akan told me that these lovely creatures were indigenous to Venus in the Sun's system and it was his civilization that had brought the white horses and white cattle from Venus to acclimate on Earth and Mars prior to moving out of the Sun's system altogether. Loading them into vast motherships, they brought them to Meton where they now thrive as they did in the days of yore on Venus, the atmosphere, vegetation and seas being similar to the mother planet. The descendants of these white horses still exist in the strain of the Arabians on Earth. The cattle still exist in India where they are regarded as holy creatures and the Zulu tribes coveted herds of white cattle. We passed by a silkworm farm where thousands of enormous worms lived on vegetation within enclosed areas. Others ready to spin were in large containers where they proceeded to spin a lovely golden thread, fine but very strong, around a wooden peg. Nearby, the silken threads were woven into shimmering material and made up into simple patterns and people came to choose the color for gowns and tunics. I felt the delicate folds of my own silken gown, so smooth to the touch and a pleasure to wear next to my skin. A natural, eon-sanctive and energetic race, each doing the work most suited to and loved by each individual and inst they are all individuals, no two alike, and all completely free and happy without restrictions of any sort. How different to Earth, I thought, where people are mass-produced to conform to fashion and A11 look alike and have to think alike too. Otherwise they become something abnorm and are shunned by the herd. Back home, we let the horses go and watched them gallop away to the sea, snowy tails streaming out in the wind of their swift passage into the breeze. Joyfully we embraced Claire and Eben who were anxiously waiting for us, knowing that the ride and exercise would hasten the birth of Akan's son. We all sat quietly in the lovely living room to watch a scene materialize like a curtain across the room. It was a scene in history, back in time, a breathtaking scene in the electric mirage. It showed a fair-skinned people with almond eyes surveying a new planet and talking among themselves in a strange and beautiful language. The land was tropical and overgrown with lush vegetation and great trees festooned with creepers, which encroached to the edge of broad sandy beaches where long glistening breakers crashed on the golden sands in foaming agitation indicative of a restless atmosphere. Wild creatures chattered and screamed within the dense foliage, which was alive with the sounds of teeming life, virile and ruthless in the fecundity of such a warm and humid atmosphere. The sky was dark and stormy with long clouds scudding across, and behind the people, a small circular spaceship rested on the wide beach. Our first scientific survey ship had just landed on Earth, landing on a strange planet for the first time, Akan said. The great land masses were harsh and primitive with many volume canoes and the seas were tempestuous and ruthless. The planet took many, many years of taming before we could live on the surface. The scene shifted again, showing the surface of another planet, a very different planet, with a beautiful curve of beach meeting a vast and deep blue sea, tranquil beneath a sapphire sky. The emerald green of rolling grass-covered land sloped up to mountains topped with rose-red cliffs. Great trees dotted the landscape and many-colored flowers carpeted the rich terrain, as an elusive and haunting fragrance mixed with the tang of the vast seas. The fresh foliage and flora of the land touched my senses with delight and I took deep breaths of it. Venus. Her glory lived again in the electric mirage, her deep atmosphere reflecting the intense and close radiations of her star, the Sun, reflecting the light out into space, with only the beneficial radiations filtered through to her surface by the vast ionosphere in which she is encased, a protection against lethal radiation from her star, with a wide ozone layer below. Cosmic dust attracted into the vicinity of the Sun forms high noctilucent clouds around the planet, adding more light to her reflection. She is a home of life in the vast void of the heavens, where there is no darkness in her slow rotation. Her proximity to the Sun keeps the upper depths of the atmosphere illuminated through the night with a glowing twilight. Then, Thetan was speaking in the beautiful language of his people, the translation coming directly into my ears from the high back of the couch Akan and I was sitting on. Cradle of mankind, the mother planet, brought forth the human race from out of vast warm seas covering her surface with sapphire blue. Spawned in the salty seas, our blood still harbors her brine. Our lifeblood is but a legacy from the salty seas, and it was during the early middle age of this solar system that the dawn of human life evolved. The emergence of humankind in a supernova created an adaptable species of life, retaining always a love for the seas from whence they came, the womb of our creation with the life-giving liquid still running through our veins. For we are the remnant, the descendants of these human beings who developed a great and glorious civilization on Venus, stabilized by peace and harmony amongst themselves and with nature and the universe. Scattered isles, like gems of emerald, slumbered in the filtered rays of a waxing star. A deep reflective atmosphere of cerulean sky, with snowy clouds to bring the rains of a gentle clime, gave breath to our forebears who swam in the warm seas breathing the fresh oxygen of the moist atmosphere. Hair or fur on the body was unnecessary as the warm climate and stable atmosphere gave protection within tranquil seas. Long and very beautiful hair on the head protected the brain from cosmic rays, the hair being full of static electricity for this reason, blonde or golden to reflect the rays. Pubic areas of the body were also protected by hair, as they would lie out on the golden sands when coming out of the sea, to sleep during the twilight hours. Through eons they lived in the seas and on the islands of breathtaking beauty, getting their nourishment from the plants of the seas and the land. The radiations from the star were filtered through a dense atmosphere during daylight when our ancestors spent their time in the seas. Thereby, there was no pigment in the skin which has remained white and delicate as it is with us to this epoch in time. We have this natural longing for the sea, handed down to us through the ages, and we care for our white skin against the damaging radiations of stars. Evolving through peaceful existence in harmony with nature, our science and technology expanded and we explored the higher atmosphere anxious to discover what lay beyond the high clouds of cosmic dust. Our scientists perfected skyships filled with helium to float beyond the limits of the atmosphere, where we discovered other worlds shining with the reflected light of their star. The Sunday we then wished to explore these other worlds and perfected spaceships to cross the far reaches of space to a neighbor world, a binary system, which seemed most interesting, with the larger planet harboring life. After landing on Earth, which we showed you in the first reflection in time, we continued into space and landed on Mars, thereby encompassing the three inner planets of the Sun's system where the temperature range from the star permits the existence of active life as we know it. These are three planets of the Sun's system flourish in peace and harmony through eons of time. But ever alert to protect their heritage in a violent universe, the scientists of this utopia detected flaw in the rhythm of Thief Star. The Sunday as the star aged, it became a variable and expanded with lethal radiations in cycles of time in its path of evolution, the cycle frequently as the star, and loses the pressure balance whiten. Our scientists traveled outwards in their starships, away from the mother system, to seek a new and waxing star system to harbor the peoples of their civilization and perpetuate their race. Vast spaceships were constructed to travel the fathomless reaches of interstellar space and carry the millions of people away from the sun system.